Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Richard Spires, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us today from IBM is George Cruiser. Richard, would you tell us more about the IT strategy for DHS? How are you seeking to modernize and standardize the use of IT for the department?
I'm a real believer that you need to decide where you draw that line in a department like the Homeland Security between what really should be provided as an enterprise service versus what should be provided component specific. And then some of those are easy. The data centers and having those and driving towards data center consolidation really is an enterprise function. We want to move away from components each having their own data centers and bring that stuff together. Great economies of scale, improved network security, efficiencies from a cost and operations perspective, all the good things we talk about even at the federal level, right, that we're working on right now with Vivek Kundra and the CIO Council. But drawing that line is important. Where do we draw that line of what's enterprise versus what's component? To the degree we can continue to refine that, that's a big part of that strategy, continue to refine that where that line is drawn. Really trying to drive a governance model that helps us define where there's leverage potential that should be enterprise, okay? We have a number of these command centers. And there's technology that supports them. I can think of 12 different common operating pictures that we've built. Do we really need 12 different common operating pictures, right? So that's the kind of leverage I'm talking about and reuse potential and standardization potential that we have. That common operating picture should go from above the line, where it's just component specific, to below the line, where it's really an enterprise capability that's provided. And then built in such a way that it's tailorable, right, configurable, let's call it that, to the particular mission need. And that's the kind of things that we're trying to drive from a strategy perspective.
As you draw that line and build the common operating picture in a department with such complex and multiple missions, I'm sure that creates a secondary challenge to building that. But if you could tell us a little bit about the synergies you've been able to drive at that common level and some of the things that you're working toward. You haven't driven the synergy yet, but you're working toward in the near future.
Well, let's go back to that enterprise level. I mean, well before I arrived, and I would certainly give credit to my predecessors, up to including Margie Graves, who's my current deputy CIO, and Mike Brown, who runs IT services in the organization under myself. Data center consolidation, you know, has been something they've been pushing on for years, and we can continue to drive. The OneNet consolidation, we continue to drive. But now we're starting to layer services on top of that. So as an example, earlier this year, we got all the components to the degree to putting in a network security infrastructure called policy enforcement points. You can kind of think of these as firewalls on steroids. Let's just call them that, kind of a layman's way of thinking about it. The notion being that rather than having each component have to worry about their own network security, why don't we do that as an enterprise service, but set it up so that you can set up trust zones? Because we may have one physical network infrastructure, but those trust zones and having that network security managed centrally puts us in a much better security posture. It's another example. We finally have come to agreement across all the enterprise about an Active Directory structure so that we can start to roll out enterprise services in a much a more rapid fashion than we were able to before. When I arrived, it would literally take us months to roll out anything that was going to be enterprise-wide. And now we're down to being able to do that in weeks or days once the application's ready to go. We're just now beginning to launch an email as a service offering, okay, that'll be run out of our data centers. And that, again, is a much more effective and efficient way to provide email capabilities through what we're calling our own private cloud offering, right? It's within our data centers, but it looks like a private cloud offering. Those are great synergies that we have been able to put in place, even within the last year. And I'm very, very proud of that and proud of the team and proud of the CIO community and the council in being able to drive that. So those are some good examples at the if you will, at that enterprise infrastructure level that we're doing.
Richard, you touched on a little bit IT governance, but I'd like to go deeper, if you will. What about its importance? And also, what are the benefits and possible limitations to a federated IT management approach?
One of the real challenges I see is because of the way we're organized. And look, 200,000-person organization, it's going to be a complex organization no matter how you organize, right? But the fact that you have these various components that many of which have come from other organizations before Department of Homeland Security or were standalone even. So bringing those together and being able to get that kind of synergy in something like IT requires a collaborative effort, and that's where governance comes in, okay? So I'm a huge believer if you can get the right people at the right level around the table with a shared sense of mission or outcome, you really can drive some amazing things. And I saw it. I saw it in the private sector, and I particularly saw it what we were able to do at the IRS, where we were able to draw and bring diverse people together, but really come out with mission objectives that they could all agree to and then drive to them, even though they lived in different organizations. I'm working to do the same thing here. Are we as far as I'd like to be? Of course not. But some successes, okay? Two that I would allude to right now. One, we have stood up an IT services governance board. It's chaired by my deputy as well as the deputy CIO for CBP, Ken Richard. And it's got the membership as really the deputy CIOs from across the whole department. And what is it really driving? I mean, I just in the last answer talked about all those enterprise services where, you know, the data centers and OneNet and the Active Directory rationalization, email as a service. That's what this board's all about. Okay? They're the ones that are working those issues, making that happen, and I think to a very effective way. So that's one example. Now let's switch gears. We have something called the Information Sharing Governance Board. And this board is really, as it said, to really look at the whole information sharing that we do across the department and even beyond the department, because for us to be successful, it's both sharing the right kind of information in the right way, respecting privacy and civil liberties and all of that, but being able to share that information as appropriate, both internally as well as with partners. Partners could be other federal government agencies. Partners could be state and local governments, tribal communities, even private sector as appropriate. One of the things I asked this governance board to take on, and they elected to do so, is to really take on the whole issue of this whole information sharing architecture. You know, we have an enterprise architecture. We have to by law. It resides within my organization. But how do you make it real? How do you make it something that's living, that's useful? It's really to look at where do we want to be in 5 years, let's say, the kinds of sharing we want to be able to do, what that means from a policy perspective as well as also from a technical systems perspective. And then where are we today, that kind of to-be state and where we're at now, and then how do we get there? That's really what enterprise architecture should do for you. And it needs to be governed, though. And so to bring senior-level executives from across DHS that sit on this Information Sharing Governance Board. This isn't just about IT anymore. These are executives from all the major components. It's chaired by Karen Wagner, who runs our intelligence and analysis organization. I'm actually a member of it. It's starting to be effective in really looking at how do we set that vision and then what are those steps to realize that vision. I think you get that thing going. It can be very, very effective for moving that forward. Now, those are two examples. I can think of at least 8 other areas in which I believe this organization should be doing similar things, okay? We do have a screening coordination office, okay? So in the whole screening world, okay, screening being as an example when you come to the border, right? And let's say you arrive internationally on a flight. When you go up to Customs and Border Patrol there, the desk, and you know they swipe your passport, okay? That's a screening function, okay? They're checking you against particular types of lists, right? Looking for terrorists and the like. That's a screening function. We have a screening coordination office, and they've done great work, highly effective. But I'd still like to see a governance model over that, all right, to help drive that even further. And it's something that I'm talking to that office about. Domain awareness is another function, okay? That I mentioned the common operating picture earlier, right? And those systems. That's another area where I believe we could do much better in coordinating and could have a governance function. Long answer to what you were asking about, Michael, but hopefully it gives you a sense for the governance that I think is critical to get the collaboration to drive these things forward. And it helps from an IT perspective, what do we do? But the more important thing is it helps from a mission effectiveness perspective.
And it's a clear vision. It's a clear vision.
With a $6.4 billion IT budget, DHS has an inherent responsibility to be a good steward of the public funds and to invest wisely. I'm interested in your elaboration on what you're doing to strengthen the capital investment process to ensure that these component investments are mission aligned and yet at the same time fit into this vision of an enterprise-wide one DHS, if you will.
Well, George, I would hope that you could appreciate that some of the things I just talked about help with that, right? So to the degree that we're doing things from an enterprise perspective where it makes sense, that's obviously a much more effective, cost-effective way to do it. The governance ideas, to the degree that helps us drive, leverage, build it once and use often, reuse, doing things the smartest way possible. All of those things come together with that governance model I described. That being said, there's certainly other things that we're looking to do to help drive cost efficiencies above and beyond that. Number one, I'm a big proponent that we need to be a smart buyer, right? We buy, as you alluded to, we're spending $6.4 billion in IT in this department. We need to buy smartly. We need to leverage that buying power in the best way. And whether that's making sure that we bring and pull things together and negotiate to provide, whether it's enterprise license agreements or at least buying in bulk where it makes sense across components, those are initiatives that are underway to just be more efficient about how we buy things and the price points at which we can buy things. So that's certainly another area where we're trying to drive cost effectiveness. I would also say that there's an awful lot going on. One of the things that's been put in place is a review process, which by my office, any expenditure that's in excess of $2.5 million does pass through my office for review. So we're looking at it from a making sure it aligns the enterprise architecture, making sure that it fits within what that component's strategy really is. And we push back at times when we say, well, what is this and how does that relate to this? And making sure we drive efficiencies, also trying to identify if this is something that they could leverage from another component rather than having to do it themselves. Again, trying to identify leverage opportunities, not duplicating things, getting that most efficient use of funds possible. And I think that process, and I will admit, some of the components grouse at times having to go through that process, but I think the discipline is very good for them, and it also gives us a lot more insight as to what's going on throughout the department with IT spend.
Well, Richard, I'd like to talk about how you keep the infrastructure, IT infrastructure networks secure. Could you give us a sense of your IT security efforts, and more particularly, to what extent does the migration to OneNet enhance your IT security efforts?
First, let me say that I've been very pleased to come on board. We have a strong CISO in Bob West, and he has built a strong CISO council. So he's got counterparts, just like the department has, CIOs that are out there in the components. There are CISOs that are out there in the components. So he runs a CISO council as well. What that team has done is built, and maybe it's an overused term, but I think it is appropriate to say he's really built a defense-in-depth IT security strategy. We have adversaries that are sophisticated. We need to have a layered strategy. So some of it is at the perimeter, like at the network layer you're alluding to with OneNet. And I mentioned earlier the implementation of these policy enforcement points, the firewalls on steroids. That's one layer. But we have other layers as well. We're right now, as an example, for network access. We're implementing, we're rolling out the HSPD-12 cards, these smart cards, right, with the chip on them. We've issued more than 100,000 of those cards across the department. And behind that, we're now looking at the logical access using those cards. I am pleased to say there's no doubt we are more secure today than we were a year ago. Does that mean we are where we want to be? Of course it doesn't. It's a journey. The adversaries are continually changing. We have to adapt to them. And so I think we're on the right path, Michael, but it's a constant process. And I think we now realize we're in a world that's just fundamentally different. It has to be baked into everything we do. When we start a project, when we look at an infrastructure upgrade, the security issues are front and center on everything we do now. It just has to be.
How is DHS pursuing data center consolidation? We will ask Richard Spires, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.